So by forgetting him, we are all unhappy. So God sends messengers to guide the child humanity back to God. So the masters come from time to time, but they are not the monopoly of any sect or religion. They come to guide the child humanity like sun gives light all the world over. There is no east or west for them. The whole creation is the house of our Father. The earth below and sky overhead. They say, they bring a message. What? They say there is God, whom we have forgotten. He is the maker of all universe. He is controlling all universe and permeating all universe. He also controls us in the man body too. So we are all children of the same God. Our souls are of the same essence as that of God. So we are all brothers and sisters in God. As I submitted that we were someday in the lap of God, ever since we are separated from God, we have forgotten Him and engaged in narrow-mindedness and bigotry and in schisms. The result was and is that we are unhappy. They tell us that all mankind is one, born with the same privileges from God, born the same way, outer and inner construction the same, two hands, two feet, two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, inner construction the same, they've got stomach, lungs, heart, brain. Every day morning, municipality takes out filth of the body. No high, no low. So they bring two messages. One, that there is God. They say they have seen it. And in man body you can also see. This is a golden opportunity afforded to you. And the other thing they tell us, that all mankind is born with the same privileges of God. So moreover, we all worship some power, called by so many names, and it is also the same. The archers may be many, but the target is the same. So as man, as soul, as worshipper of the same power called by different names, we are only one. This unity exists as man, as soul, and as God whom we worship. This unity we have forgotten. Master come to have this unity realized. So they flesh, that God is not out of this universe. He also resides in the universe. He controls, of course. He is the maker, but He is throughout all creation and still above it. So the result comes that God is love. Our souls are of the same essence as that of God. Love is innate in our soul. They say, as God is the creator and resides in every heart, we should love God And it is He who made us in the womb of the mother. And as it lies in every heart, we should also love all. So this is the message which they give us. So these masters, when they come, they come at a time when people, out of bigotry and narrow-mindedness, they are on schisms, strifes, they come to reconcile, giving them the right understanding. Guru Nanak came at a time when there were two parties very strong, Hindus and Mohammedans. They came and preached. He said, "I am neither a Mohammedan nor a Hindu." "Then who you are? Can the eye see God and Allah is the same whom we worship?" Kabir came up. He also said the same thing. "I am neither Hindu nor a Mohammedan. I consider both alike, with the same privilege from God." So then they questioned him, "All right, if you are neither a Hindu, you are carrying the label of a Hindu, how can you say you are not Hindu?" He said, "Of course, the label is carrying of a Hindu, but I am not, I am something else." He said, "What you are, my body is made of five elements, and that power which limits this body, that I am." So he gave out that we are all reading in the same class. As in class you find men of different denominations reaching in the same class. So we are all wearing different labels of on the bodies. We are all one class reading to reach God. Then he said, "How can we see or reach God?" Then there is one thing. What? All attachments that we have got with the body are outer things. Those should be burnt down and make a ink of it. And with your conscious self, go on writing the name of God, remembrance of God. So these outer attachments only keep us away from God. So this is a very simple thing with the bring to the world. One, there is God whom we have forgotten. The other, that all men are alike, and no high, no low. So further thing, what they say, this world, as some considered, that came of its own, some of its own self, as a reaction of matter, he said no. And scientists have now come to the conclusion that the whole world, there is a power controlling all creation, which is conscious. They are coming to that now. So they come to what? To realize people that there is God, and God is love. Love is in it, in ourselves, and the way back to God is also through love. So love God, and love all those in which He resides too. So all masters came up, they come to develop this love for God and for all humanity. They bring no new religion, but a religion of love. So all masters who came, they said, Bible says, "Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength." And they say, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." Those who say, "We love God whom they have not seen," and they hate the world, people at large, they say they are a liar. Whom they see, they cannot love them. How can they love God whom they have not seen? So all masters came up, gave out the same thing. 10th Guru of the Sikhs came up. He said, "Look here, in all the world over, God permitting and all. He exists in all bodies, resides in all bodies. Don't torment anybody. If you torment anybody, the father of the children will, you will have to pay for it. So, other master says, you want to know God, then don't torment anybody, because God resides in every heart. We are, as it were, the limbs of the same father. If one limb aches, the other cannot be at rest. So all masters, they said, what you say is all creation of the same God. Whether we are having what you say, labors of one religion or another, that makes no difference. There is no heart without it. So if you realize this thing, true father of God, of God and true brother of man will arise. And you can bring down heaven and earth. So great is man. Man body is the golden opportunity that has been given to us, afforded to us by God, because in man body only we can know God. Vedas say it is a place where God can manifest. So all masters, as they came in each of the verse, they say, body is the two masks in which he resides. Quran tells us, when the man of body was set up, God ordered angels to bow down before him. So great is man, it is next to God. And all outer temples were made after the model of man body, dome-shaped Hindu temples. Nose had shaped long churches. Forehead shaped masks. They were all made after the model of man, and what they kept, God, when he wished, or one wished to be many, there was vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. God is light and God is sound principle. You find everywhere that, in temples, mosques, churches, and all the other holy places of worship. So which is good and which is bad? All are the models of the man body to show that such like light of God is shining within you, and such like music of the spheres or voice of God is heard within you. So which is the best of all? The Master says the best of all is the human body in which God light is manifest and whose voice is God is reverberating in all man body. So that is why Master said, take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path. He is wordless. When he came into world, word is the cause of all creation. Word is a light. Is a lamp on my feet and light on my path. Guru Nanak say, God is nameless. When it came to being, it is called Naam. Whenever we come in contact with it, we see light of God comparing to thousands of suns rising together. So Master come and look here, your conscious entities, the drop of the ocean of all consciousness. We are truly speaking brothers and sisters in God. So our true home is where? We are conscious entities. Our true home should be the place where it is all consciousness, the true home of our Father. So Master all to tell, well, man body is the true temple of God in which God resides. Outer Kaaba was raised by Khalil. Khalil of Rahman. And this man body made by whom? God himself in the womb of the mother. In Quran, God says, I am the hidden treasure within you. Oh man, why don't you find me? Guru Arjan says, Guru Nanak says, when there is a treasure, divinity within you, just have one word for the Master and you will have it. He will give you a demonstration of that. The word Guru means what? Close your eyes, there is darkness, you can remove this darkness and make light refulgent, manifest to you. Such a man is called a Master, such a man is called Guru. So, body is the two temples of God, two church of God, two mosque of God, two Kaaba. All the outer things were made out of the man's body. Guru Nanak says, body is the two temples of God in which the light is fully effulgent. Outer models were made only for the beginners, just we teach the children by dolls like that, you see, to show such like light is within you and such like voice of God is being heard within you. So as their masters, practical masters I mean, these people got the benefit of it. When they left the scene, naturally, the school of thought came into being, the labels of which we are carrying. Hindus, Mohammedans, Christians, Jews and all. The purpose was to keep the teachings of the masters alive. As long as there are practical people, they derived the benefit of it. For want of practical people, we hollowed out our temple, all right, but the seeing of the God within us, that was forgotten. So you'll find as man, as soul, as God whom we worship, we are all one unity already exists. Master come to have this unity realized. So ever since we were separated from God, why we have forgotten God? They tell us the reason. Then the remedy for that. Reason is that ever since we are souls. Souls have been under the control of mind. Mind has been under the control of outgoing faculties. Outgoing faculties are driven like anything by the outside enjoyment. It is we who give life to the outgoing faculties, to mind, but we are driven like anything. The whole thing topsy-turvy. Horse is being put before the cart. So the Master tells us how to come out of this. You find our body is made of matter. Matter is changing every moment of life. The world around us is also made of matter. That is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing. As we are identified with the body and outside world, two things, though changing, appear to be stationary. It is an optical illusion. Just take a case of a boat in which some men are rowing down the streams. Those are one with the boat. They are going down the stream at the same speed the boat is going and the water is going. Man outside on the side of the road, so where dear friend you are being rowing down the stream, they look to the water, they look to the boat. What are you telling? We are stationary. It is not optic illusion. The only remedy, we should come out of the boat. So Master tell us, what to do? They say us, look here, you come out of the boat. Know thyself who you are, what you are. You are not the body, you have the body. You are not the intellect, you have got the intellect. You are not the outgoing faculties, you have the outgoing faculties. But all the machinery of man's body is run by you. Like a powerhouse which runs the whole factory. Similar, our own self, which is conscious, that animates the whole body. And we are controlled in the body by some power, which is called God. So, Master, come, one thing, this grand illusion. The other thing, the law of cause and effect is going on. As you sow, so should he. First we are under a delusion, the other thing is we are under the control of the law of cause and effect. The reason is, ever since we have left God, we have forgotten God, we never dream of going back. We are going round and round and round. So Guru Nanak very clearly says, as long as you do not analyze yourself to rise above body consciousness, you cannot come out of this delusion. The only thing remains now what? To come out of the boat of the man body. So all masters or philosophers who came in the past, they gave out what? Vaishnavas tell us the ultimate goal of all knowledge is to know self. Man has got three aspects, you know. It has got physical body, it has got intellect, but it is a conscious being. We have known so much about physical bodies. We advanced wonderfully. So far as intellect is concerned, we have got so many new inventions. But if we have not known about our own self, the philosophers say we are fools, we are ignorant. Man's body is the highest in creation, we should develop all around, physically, intellectually, and spiritually. Physically, we know so many paths how this man's body can be kept, in health. Outside intellectually, you know, we can hear, see, men talking from thousands of minds through radio, television. We can go around the world in hours. We are reading the moon last night also. Another trip was taken to moon, you see. We are at other trying to attend other matters too. With all these in mind, advancement, we are not happy because we have known little or nothing practically our own self, what we are. So Master said that this one thing, the only remedy is to come out of this delusion or ignorance, or out of this optical illusion, is to leave the boat, rise above. Now all Master came from time to time, they preach the same thing. I'm telling you in this way, they said in their own way. Emerson said, tap inside. Christ said, except ye be born anew, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, Jewish head, was a very learned man. He came up, Lord, we are elderly people, how can you re-enter the womb of the mother and be reborn? He said, well, look here, people worship you like anything. You are a very great learned man. Don't you know that spirit is born of the spirit and flesh of the flesh? Then he said, you must be reborn. One birth in this man's body, the other into the beyond. When you rise above, your whole angle of vision has changed. This very world appears to be all changing. Similar to these very things are preached by rishis of the old. There is a custom among the Hindus, they make children twice born at the age of 5, 7, 9 years old in the old days. You know that custom prevails. They gave them Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra means rise above bodies and catch the ray of the sun to be one with the sun. O God, direct our souls to that truth. This is a prayer. And children were given demonstration of rising above physical body and see the sun light within. That custom still prevails amongst the Hindus, but they give the same mantra, but no demonstration for want of practical people. It is just a process of leaving the body. This is a process to be reborn. First we must die, then reborn, you see. We should rise from the physical body above, die this way, rise that way. That is why I said to him, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Saint Rudolf tells us, those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. I think you might attend some man dying. What happens? He does not recognize you. You call him, he does not hear you, because the attention will be drawn from the eyes and ears. Ultimately, the eyes are upturned and drops in comes. This is dying this way, rising that way. In actual death, the cerebral cord, which is based on the reactions of the past karmas, that is broken. In this life, to die while alive, that cerebral cord still remains intact, not broken. You have to come back. Prophet Muhammad in Quran says, Mautu kiblat, learn to die before your death. They came to the Prophet and said, is it a death which leads us to the grave? He said, no. It is such a death that won't lead you to the grave, but it is a death which will lead you from darkness to light. Sun sets this way, rises the other way. So they go, you got the man body, go, learn to die and derive the full benefit from your man body. And this all other master, Dadu, says the same thing in his own language. Die before die, you will that everybody has got ultimately. Guru Nanak says, learn to die, learn such a yoga. How to leave the body at will. Then he goes on to say, learn to die 100 times a day. I was in India 3 months back. I'm now here. No more there, but here exists, is it not? There's something like that. So for that reason, moral room, he says, we are in the prison house of the man body. It is locked from all outside. We cannot run away out of it. How to go out? We can make a hole in the roof and go out. So it is what something takes cross daily. This is cross. Rise up body daily. Saint Paul said, I die daily. I am quoting all this to you, the basic teachings of all scriptures, of all masters who came in the West, they have been the same. How to come out of the delusion is to rise above body consciousness. They said, man know thyself, Gnotisiaton. Greek philosophers said in their own language, oh man know thyself. Latin philosophers also said the same thing, Nasi Tipsum. Guru Nanak says, you rise above body consciousness and know yourself, you cannot be out of the delusion. So man knows thyself, we generally take it as the level of senses or driving influences, our feelings. It is really a practical self-analysis of rising above body consciousness. Then know yourself, you'll find some power is keeping you in the body.
Good morning and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the first 30 minutes of an evening talk given at the Unity Center in Miami, Florida on December 8, 1972. Our reader this morning is Pradeep Sethi. Hello, Pradeep.
Good morning. We are continuing with the question and answer sessions from The Light of Kirpal, Chapter 38, First See, Then Say, January 7, 1971, Rajpur. So, masters did see. The masters did see and then said something. We cannot really appreciate what they say. Really appreciate, I would say. That is why I say, unless you see for your own self, don't believe even the sayings of the master. That is a very open truth. All outer ceremonies and secondary, they are symbols to say there is something. All say so, so you see. Kabir says, I'm going away to be married with God, O people. I'm going away to be married with God. Marriage of the soul with the oversoul. Can we say that? So, first see, and then say. The vast difference between a saint and others is that others may give long connotations of philosophy, but really have never seen him. So, bookish knowledge is all wilderness, no way out. Even the sayings of the masters are not understood in their right perspective, unless you see. All say God is light, all say God is light. Nobody says God is darkness. Nobody says it. Those who have not seen also say God is light. It is just saying without seeing. So, foremost thing is to see first and then say. And don't deceive your own self. We deceive ourselves. God first, then others. It is masters only who said, see, then say, there is God. Others only say by drawing inferences, by feelings, and they are all subject to error. Masters say, we've seen, where? In this man body. Where there's the whole universe, why can't we see? This is a natural question which arises. You say, you've seen him in the temple of the man body. Well, how? We can't see when he's there. If there's light here, I'm here, why can't I see the light? The mind is between us. We are in control of mind. Mind is in control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are driven by outer enjoyments. Unless we withdraw from outside, from the entanglements of the outgoing faculties, mind and intellect, we cannot see. They say, what's the proof? Sit and see, that's all. They may have something to start with according to each man's background, but there is something. So the criterion of a saint, of a master, is only one who can give you some demonstration, maybe little or more. All the masters, most all scriptures say so. You may have all these scriptures learned by rote, may have filled your brain with all of them. What's the good of that? Can you taste anything from the spoon which is going through the pudding without taking any? No. This is a very simple, natural way of telling you. They say they've seen. They require no philosophy to prove their theories. They say, all right, there is God. Go and see. Son knows the Father and others whom the Son reveals. You may learn the biographies of saints. They give you something special in each man's life. If people begin to read the biographies of saints, they'll gather more than all the scriptures. Each saint has his own beauty, his greatness. There was some principle working in their lives. So the main thing is, you have got the man body. What is the highest thing that you can do in the man body? It is to know God, to see God. Guru Nanak was asked, with what eyes do you see God? He said, it's not the eyes of the flesh and bones, but the inner eye that sees, O Nanak. The Bible says, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. It is not the outer eyes to which he refers. It is better to enter the world with one eye rather than two, because if you always work through two eyes, you'll go to hell. This is the digest of all teachings, you see. Have you seen? That's all right. Grow more. See, 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 and so much see that you forget yourself, so that you may say, it is not I, it is not I, but Christ lives in me. And the means to it is only love. Love develops receptivity. Your own self is now in that over-self, so much so that you forget yourself. This is why St. Paul said, it's I and not I, but Christ lives in me. These are the very facts. This is what is called Guru Mukta, actions of a Guru. When you absorb true love, you forget your other self. You will arise into the true self, egress, become born. You become one. Last night I was giving you some different views of Christianity. I've got no new religion with me. Why? I would lead people astray, further astray. They would be involved in more vagaries. What to say of ignorance? Believe what he says, because what he says, he sees. Others say what they have not seen, but only as a matter of inference or feelings, and they are all subject to error. So seeing is above all. So God is all alone, you see. He has got no father, no mother. He wants everyone to come to him all alone. He does not want you to bring your children, your outer matters, or your physical body, or your own intellect. He does not want all these things. Come alone. Go to him all alone. He's waiting for you. Meditation means only that. What does meditation mean? To be all alone with him. Is it not? That is all. Very simple way. There is nothing difficult. People have made it hard to understand from their own intellectual wrestlings. You want to go to him all alone, then withdraw from outside. If you're involved in outer things, how can you go to him? And even if you sit before him at all, like a blind man, even then you'll want from him, give me this thing, give me that thing, give me that thing. Things of this world or other world. One saint has prayed, in fact, that's a very ideal prayer. O God, I want a gift from you. What is that gift? I should not ask anything from you. You do what is best for me. Sometimes we do pray and get what we have prayed for. Later on we repent. Why did we ask for it? Is it not so? So the best prayer is, O Master, O God, give us what you think best for us. We want to come back to you. That's all. How can the man who's involved in so many outer things go? Christ gave a parable like that. It is easier for what? Do you know? For a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. How can the man who is involved in so many outward things, 101 irons in the fire, withdraw from outside? That's the first problem. How can you withdraw? You enjoy outside, and unless you get more blissful enjoyment inside, you cannot withdraw from outside. A child who is playing with playthings won't leave them unless you give him something sweet. Some run and then recede. God helps those who do not help themselves. God also helps those who help themselves. But only those who help themselves and forget in all that effort lose themselves, only then, not before. Which is the easier one, first or second? Devotee, not to help yourself. Master, don't help yourself, you'll see. You'll have progress. you'll hear, just withdraw. Go back to your own self. That's all. Devotee. And it isn't a matter of belief, is it? Master, belief? A devotee, depending on how much our faith is? Master, look here. Faith comes only as a result of the reaction of the past. Or if you see something, how does faith come? Either as a reaction of the past, man is in the make, or if he has received something substantial before him. When the Pakistan-India war broke out, I remember very spiritual religious people who were praying to God night and day like that. Thousands were killed. They said, "Where, O God, where are you?" Because they did not see. Their faith breaks away. Faith remains only so long as you have everything to meet your own desires. If that is not given, then so faith is the root cause of all religions. That's true. But faith arises how? That's the point. Either as reactions of the past, or if you have something substantial before you. So blind faith does not help you. Only to a certain extent, not beyond. When everything goes according to your wish and pleasure, then, God is all right. But if you are put to adversity and nobody helps you, where is God? Preaching only goes to the heart from such people who talk from the abundance of their heart, from what they are. The arrow that is driven to the breast goes to the target. What comes from the level of the mouth, of the intellect, words, with so many sermons and lectures and so many books, can have little or no effect. And those are given only from the level of, if I may use the word, belly. How can they help? They are not after the real thing. So first see, and then say. That's the point. Usually I write in my circulars, group leaders and others should speak of what they are fully convinced. Otherwise, say, all right, we've learned this, that's all. Sometimes we act as bosses. This is all right, my word is the word of God. There are people like that. Generally, very few. They don't carry further effect to the people, as they are colored with the worldly colors so much so that no other colors can come through. So this topic is to see and then say. Follow the words of the master or the saints. They come from time to time. They have been coming. They may come in the future too. There's no hard and fast rules against it, because we are all his children. The father will look after his children. In what way? To bring back the prodigal sons, you see. So leave all philosophies, I would say. The word philosophy means, do you know what? Love of God. It comes from the word philosophia, love of God. And the philosopher is one who loves God. Now, we take it in a different way. We don't go to the root of the words. Somebody says, Socrates, do you love truth? Yes. Do you love Plato? He said, yes, I love Plato. Who do you love more? I love truth more than Plato. You love Plato because you understood God, you see? So we all should be philosophers. Nowadays, the word philosophy means intellectual wrestling, drawing inferences, that's all. Do you now follow what is the difference between the saying of a saint and others? These things are not clear in books, I tell you honestly. Philosopher is one who loves God. Who loves God sees him. So I'm giving you what I have come to in my life. I wish you the same, you see. Every father wishes his children to develop even more than himself. But there's no goal except to be with him there. They are all one there. We are all micro-gods, son of the same father, brothers and sisters in God. That's the open truth. We've made it hard to understand. I am a Christian, I am a Mohammedan, I am a this, I am a that. Well, those are the badges you are wearing on your body. Are they not? You are a man. You are not even a man. You bear the body of a man. You are something else, a conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, environed by mind and matter and outgoing faculties, identified with them so much so that you have forgotten yourself. That's all. That is why I say, know thyself, O man. I respect all scriptures. Masters came from time to time to teach according to their need of the hour. Puritans came in the West. They were soldiers of the truth. Khalsas. Khalsa means one who has got full light of God refulgent in him. Whoever has got God refulgent in him is the son of God. Others are also sons of God's, but they have not realized it, not even seen it. The masters never say, we speak. They say, he speaks. They become only a channel. They speak what comes, not what they want to speak, according to the need of the time, occasion. They speak books. They speak scriptures. Scriptures came through them. Is it not so? They are men like you. They have the same man body, born in the same way. So I wish you all to have the same perspective. You'll change like anything. So that comes through by loving God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And further, devotee, love thy neighbor as thyself. Master, why? If you say you love God and you hate your brothers, then you are a liar. It is not so. This is what all scriptures say. There is only a diversion of your attention from this side to that side. That's all. One Bulesha, a saint, came to his guru, who was just a gardener, placing saplings here and there. He asked him how to get God, how to see God. Oh dear fellow, it's very easy, like taking out a sapling from one place and putting it in another place. You are attention, divert your attention from here to there, a very simple way of explaining. Withdraw your attention from outside, place it inside, then you'll see. They want you to see within. Then let me see you, not the others. That's all. Where to see? Within your own self. He is your controlling power within you. You and he both reside in the same man body. You want to see him? Then put your whole attention in there. That's all. The same thing is explained in so many ways. So the only difficulty arises, we don't want to see God. Be sure, don't deceive yourself. If you do want to see him, surely you will see him. He's waiting for you, but you are entangled here, there. You don't have to leave the world, but pay off your debts and go back home, please. Two things were before me after leaving my educational career. One, ambition of life. I was very fond of reading scriptures like that. In my school career, I read two libraries. I had two things before me, God or world. Nobody was to advise me. I went to the wilderness all alone at night from 6, 7 till 12, 1, 2 at night. Ultimately, I came to the conclusion, God first and world next. You see, the result was every step taken was a step to that goal. God first, wait. Is God first or is it world first? We take world first and God to help us in the world. That's all. Everybody must decide what he wants to do. We are adrift. Sometimes we want God, sometimes the world. So decide first what you want to do. Sometimes I tell people, decide what you want to do from this day on. You must have something before you and work for it maybe only a step is taken, but it will take you closer to the goal. Sometimes you are running like a hare, then sleeping, then again turning your head some other way. It's better to go regularly like a tortoise, step by step, every day. Not turning, but going ahead. So you are on the way. God is waiting for you, each one of you. He is also waiting for me. I want to go back. I tell you how far I am imprisoned here. Next chapter. Rise Above Consciousness of the World, January 15, 1971, Morning Darshan, Rajpur. Perhaps you have read in Japji that there are planes and planes, there are skies and skies. When you rise above, references have been made there, but people don't know how to interpret them. That's a pity. Once, when Guru Nanak went to Persia, he said, there are planes and there are skies and skies. There's no end to them. And somebody reported to a Mohammedan saint that we have in our Quran only seven skies, but here is a saint saying there are skies and skies and limitless skies. When he came up to Guru Nanak, Guru Nanak told him, if your vision is open up to seven, that's all right. But there are still further regions. There's no end to them. References are given in the books. People read Japji daily, but they don't know what it means. Books can only give references to what the authors have seen. Guru Nanak saw that there are planes and planes and skies. There's no limit to that. They cannot be counted. God is limitless. How can you count His creation, which is also limitless? The beauty of that stanza is not understood. People read without understanding, but truly speaking, the superficial knowledge is ignorance, I tell you. We have to use this knowledge. We have to talk about the level of the people in the language known by them, but words are inadequate. Now, as was stated in Japji, there are planes and planes, there are skies above skies, they have no limit in them. How can you count them? And God who created them is also limitless. That's all you can say. I think until you see them or have some access to them, only then you'll see their beauty. Maulana Rumi, a Mohammedan saint, says, I have taken the very gist, the very life out of the Quran, and I am giving you that. I've left the flesh and bones for the dogs to fight over. The words he has used are very strong. These are exact words. I've taken the very brain out of the Quran and left the flesh and bones for the dogs to fight over. Most will only speak by the letter of the law. This word can only be pronounced in that way and this and that way. They are fighting over these minor points and they don't get to the kernel of these things. So Maulana Rumi says, I have taken out the Quran, the life of all scripture. He was a Mohammedan, really a very high saint, I tell you. We have to describe other people through language, but language can only give a reference to it. When going on a plane, you can see different layers of clouds below the plane. You see them, first one, then the other, like wheels. Now, how can one who has not been in the airplane understand this description, even if you write it in books? The digest of the whole thing is, know yourself, not at the level of feelings or drawing inferences, but by self-analysis. When you rise above, your angle of vision is changed. You need no literary knowledge for that. You see it for explanatory purposes. A learned man will give you so many instances from outside to bring home that very point. An unlearned man will only use the vocabulary at his command. As I have told you, Bulle Shah went to his Guru Inayacha by name, who was a gardener. He was transplanting saplings from here to there. Bhulisha asked, "How can God be reached?" Inayacha said, "Oh, that's very easy work. It's just like removing one sapling from one place and putting it in another place. You withdraw your attention from outside. It's a question of all attention, that's all. If I look at you, let me wholly look at you and nobody else. God does not like you to think of anybody except Him. If you have got a special friend, naturally He would not like you to think of anybody else but Him. God is all alone. He wants everybody to come to Him all alone, not even bringing intellect, outgoing faculties, children, money or wealth. He is all alone. What is all this creation? It is just like a written document when rolled up. When again He opens it, all this creation is begun. But you do not understand these things in their right perspective unless you see. Feelings, emotions, and drawing inferences are all subject to error. Seeing is above all. Naturally, every man wants to go to his origin. As I told you the other day, if you light a candle, the flame will go up. Even if you turn it, the flame will go up. For the origin is the sun above. Soul is the same essence as that of God. It will, when unbound, cut off from all environments, go up. To have longing feelings like that is all right, but unless you reunite, that very separation will give you the fever of aspiration. So everyone has the natural tendency to go to his origin. That's all. We are simply bound by outside things, outside faculties, whether physical or astral or causal. That is why it is very necessary that we should have no attachments. When we are attached, we cannot leave. It's just like some flowers painted in a portrait on the wall. The flowers cannot leave the wall. We think so much of and are so imbued with the worldly things that we cannot withdraw from them. So the master gives you some demonstration of how to rise above body consciousness on the very first day. If you completely withdraw all your attention from the body, that's true renunciation. I do not tell you to leave hearth and home and go to the wilderness, leave the body, that's the different thing. To leave all the rest is very easy. To leave all attachments of the world is very easy. But to control the mind and rise above body consciousness is difficult. Unless you control the mind, how can you rise above? You are bound hand and foot. You see, in the olden days, they had hydrogen gas balloons, which were tied to the earth by strings. When the strings were cut off, the balloon flew up into the air. It is something like that. We are not of the physical world. We are of the other world, other worlds, I would say. We are stuck fast here, enchained hand and foot. We cannot leave the world and its environments. And Master says to the learned, with all your learning, how can you leave? So Master gives you first hand a little demonstration of how to come up on the very first day. The ABC starts from there. There are yet planes and planes. It said of Peter the Great, Tsar of Russia, that once he went to Holland to learn how ships are built. I saw the ship he worked on still lying in the museum on my last tour in 1963 and 64. So he dressed in the laborer's clothing. He was the Tsar of Russia, working like other laborers. There were some who had been driven out of Russia. He met them and asked them, "Dear friends, why are you here? Why don't you go back to your homeland?" "Well, we've been driven out by the order of the Tsar. We cannot go back." "All right, that Tsar of Russia is known to me. I will recommend that he let you go back." Some people did believe. He appears very strong. he might be known to the Tsar, said those who really heard him. So he went back to Russia. They followed him. When he entered Russia, the people bowed down in respect for him. Those who had followed him said, "The man appears to be very influential. Everybody respects him." When he reached Moscow, the capital, he went and sat on the throne. Then they said, "Didn't I tell you he was something? Following a master is something like that," you see. And my time has come to an end today, and I'll stop here. I started with chapter 38 from the Light of Kripal, titled First See, Then Say, and moved on to chapter 39, Rise Above Consciousness of This World. Thank you, everybody, for your patience listening, and thank you, Master, for giving us this opportunity to come together.
Thank you, Pradeep, for reading Master's precious words. There were 82 participants at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to receive your loving guidance and blessings.
So Master's come tell us, they address us either as a man, from the level of a man, O man, awake, or from the level of the soul, conscious being, O children of light, awake, you are asleep,